We shall now turn to the chapter which we read, 2 Kings chapter 6, and we shall read again verse 17. 2 Kings 6 verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So here we have a story of amazing protection provided to the prophet. But it's not just great prophets that have this protection. This protection is given to all the Lord's people. The angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do him fear, and them delivereth. What a wonderful psalm that is, Psalm 34. And we've been singing in Psalm 27 about the defense that the Lord gives to his people. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and our strength in straits, a present aid, a very present help in every time of need. What a wonderful God we have, and what amazing protection he provides us with. And so this passage today is a passage to encourage us. Encourage us in our trials, in our tribulations, in our difficulties, and in our problems. Remember, we're all in a war. The unconverted, of course, aren't. They are dead in trespasses and sins. The unbeliever is a slave of the devil. He does the devil's will and doesn't seem to care. But once you become a Christian, then the devil declares war upon you. So you've got Satan as your great enemy. And not just Satan, but the world around you that's dominated by Satan. And not just Satan and the world, but also in your own heart, there's the flesh. Fleshly, sinful desires, indwelling corruption. And the devil stirs up these unclean, wicked, rebellious, nasty thoughts in your heart and desires in your heart. So that as a Christian, we've got to be constantly battling against the sin within us, the sin around us, and the roaring lion who's seeking to destroy us. Sometimes we're subjected to a terrifying bombardment from the devil. And we can be overcome by fear and panic. Other times, he comes with deadly seduction, pretending to be our friend, just as he came to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden? You shall not surely die. God doth know if you take of this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I'm your friend. Just listen to me. I'll make you happy. Just follow me and you'll be wonderful. Sometimes he tries to frighten us. Other times he comes with deadly seduction. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Remember, the devil's setting traps for us everywhere. There's these landmines. You don't know where they are. Any moment, a bomb can fall. A bullet can be shot. Satan is out to destroy us. Watch and pray. But as Christians, we have a great promise. God is on our side. If it were not for that, there'd be no hope for us. We'd never endure. Satan's too strong for us, but God is on our side. And where God begins the good work, he will bring it on until the day of Christ Jesus. Where he starts the work, he'll finish it. There's that promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And there's the promise that we have here. There are more that be with us, verse 16, than they that be with them. One person with God on his side can face all the armies that the devil can gather against us. Well, first today I want us to notice the wickedness of the king of Syria. He hates God's people. And of course, the unconverted always hate the converted. Sinners are always looking for ways to disturb and trouble and attack men and women of God. Satan is at war with a believer. We see that right from the beginning. Remember godly Abel coming and offering a sacrifice by faith to God, a more excellent one than Cain, his brother. And what was the response of Cain? To murder his brother. Ever since, violence against the godly. And the godlier you are, the more the violence will be against you. We think of the Israelites in Egypt, the children of Joseph and Jacob, and how the Egyptians enslaved them, how the taskmasters whipped them. We think of the Israelites when they came into the promised land, how the Philistines were constantly attacking them. And the Moabites and the Ammonites and the Edomites and the Syrians. On every side, enemies against them. God's people opposed. Marvel not that the world hate you. Jesus said, before it hated you, it hated me. The world hates the children of God. Because the devil hates the children of God, and the world are the children of the devil. And they are motivated and dominated by Satan. So here we see the king of Syria with hatred against God's people. And we see him sending his soldiers into the land of Israel in order to capture the king. He wants to capture the head, to kidnap the head of God's people. He's trying to destroy them. We see the aggression of the Syrians. Aggression is wicked. This action of Putin in attacking Ukraine, aggression, entering into another country, it's wicked. It's from the devil. Destroying life, destroying property. What can that be but something motivated by Satan? I've heard of some people trying to justify Putin and talking about the sins of Ukraine, but it's no use blaming the victim. That's wrong. Aggression is always wrong. The wickedness of all the barbarity that has been perpetrated there. It's so evil. And when we see the Muslims with their extremism and their suicide bombings and so on, that's wicked. It's not from God. It's not from the God of the Scriptures, this violence. Thou shalt not kill is the sixth commandment. We're not to kill. We're not to kill in the interests of religion. We're not to kill in the interests of our country. Killing is wrong. Now, of course, there is a just war, a war of self-defense. But a war of aggression is never a just war. I came across a quote by Stalin. One death is a tragedy. A million deaths is a statistic. What a horrid, cruel thing to say. And this man Putin seems to be following in the paths of Stalin. The number of deaths don't seem to matter. The butchery doesn't seem to care about it. All these people, innocent people in the station there, trying to get away from the area of violence, and a rocket is fired into the midst of them, and 50 or more killed and many more maimed, innocent civilians. The wickedness then here of the king of Syria trying to destroy Israel, to invade, to capture their king and to take him away. The next thing we notice is God's perfect knowledge. It's important for us to realize that God knows everything. Everything about everyone. He knows the plans. He knows the conspiracies. He knows even the secret thoughts. The words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber, God knows. God knows everything, even the thoughts of your heart. He is omniscient, so that the secret plans are discovered by him. The devil, he loves death and destruction. And so the king of Syria sends in his raiding bands in an effort to capture the king of Israel. But God reveals to the prophet, to Elisha, the plans of the king of Syria, where he's going to set up his camp, where he's hoping to capture the king of Israel. And so Elisha the prophet sends warnings to the king. There we see God restraining the hand of the wicked, setting limits. The wrath of man shall praise thee, and to the remnant of his wrath thou wilt set restraining bounds. God's wrath, at the end of the day, for man's wrath rather, at the end of the day, will praise God. Nothing happens in this world but what is actually fulfilling the purpose of God. So even the very wrath of man, yes, the wrath of wicked men, will at the end of the day praise God. And God will be glorified at the end of the day, even by the war in Ukraine. To the remnant of his wrath, to what's left over, what doesn't directly praise him, God sets restraining bounds. God will be glorified. And God is working out everything in this world for his own glory. The wickedness of man, the spitefulness of Satan, all this at the end of the day, God will restrain, restrict, or advance for his own glory. Seems amazing to us when we think of the huge armies that gathered at the borders of Ukraine, and 200 thousand Russian soldiers and all these tanks and missiles and planes all gathering, and you would think, well, Ukraine will collapse in a couple of days. And yet, it didn't happen. Strangely, it didn't happen. Somehow or other, it didn't happen. Putin was thinking, well, this man, this president of Ukraine, he's just a comedian turned politician. And yet, strangely, he seems to be strengthened by God and enabled to be a remarkable leader for his country. And there we see God at work, even in the lives of those who are not necessarily professing Christians, born-again Christians. God has perfect knowledge. But next we notice the Syrian king's foolish plan. First of all, he thinks, surely there must be a spy amongst my captains. How is it that when I plan to surprise the king of Israel, he seems to know about it? And he escapes time and time again. Surely there's a spy in our midst, some mole in the camp. So he says to his captains, who among us is on the side of the king of Israel? And nobody owns up. And then one of his captains says, it's not that there's any of us on the side of the king of Israel, it's that there's a prophet in Israel. And this prophet tells the king what you say in your bedroom. You can't hide from him anything. The prophet knows, because the prophet has contact with God who knows. And therefore, your secrets are revealed. And so the king thinks of a foolish plan. I'll have to then capture the prophet. Well, if he couldn't capture the king, how was he going to capture the prophet? But that's the folly of man. Foolish man never seems to reason things through. If the prophet knew where the Syrians were going to camp in order to capture the king, surely the prophet would know where the Syrians were going to camp in order to capture the prophet. But he doesn't seem able to reason in that way. The folly of the unbeliever. The folly of the unbeliever who knows there's a God, knows deep down in his heart that there's a God, and yet persists in sin. Knows that there's a judgment day coming, and yet continues on thoughtlessly. Knows that at any moment he can die, and yet lives on thinking, one day I'll seek the Lord and make my peace with God. And then it's too late. Death comes. The folly of the wicked. Next we see the young man's fear. Elisha's servant, he gets up the next morning and he looks out and he sees an army surrounding the village, the city, the house is surrounded. Alas, he says, we're surrounded. There's no escape. There's all these horses and chariots and soldiers. The situation is desperate. We're lost, Master. We're finished. We're surrounded. There's no way out. But let's remember, there's always a way out. There's no situation which is impossible. God always has an answer. When you think there's no way out, look up. See the throne. Remember the one who is in control. It's not man's plans. It's not the king of Syria's devices that's going to, at the end of the day, succeed. It's God's plan. The problem with us so often is that we focus on ourselves and we focus on our circumstances and we're so troubled about our situation and we forget that there's a God in heaven. A God who's over all, a God who's in control. Stop focusing on the problem and focus on God instead. See God. God reigneth, let the earth be glad. And that's the only reason why the earth should be glad. God reigns. And because God reigns, rejoice. Rejoice. God has a purpose, and God's purpose is good. God hears prayer, and God answers prayer in wonderful ways. Remember the disciples in the storm. Master, Master, carest not thou that we perish? We're sinking. We're finished. We're lost. Do you not care? Why are you sleeping? Don't sleep. Wake up. Do you not care? Well, there was nobody who cared for them more than the Master. And having Jesus in the boat, how could it sink? God's plan was that Jesus would die at Jerusalem. And that he would die not from drowning, but from crucifixion. But to these fishermen, the boat filling with water, the waves getting higher, the wind getting stronger, it seemed, we're finished. We're going down. But he arose and said to the wind and the waves, be still. And there was a great calm. How quickly God can sort out all problems. The children of Israel were at the Red Sea. They were trapped with mountains on either side, the sea in front of them, and the chariots of the Egyptians charging down on them from behind. Why did you take us out into the desert here to die with a sword? Where there are no graves in the land of Egypt where we can be buried, that we have to die out here in the wilderness. Focusing on the problem rather than looking up. And the Lord opened the Red Sea before them. And they crossed the Red Sea on dry land. And that great Egyptian army was swallowed up in the sea. How wonderful is our God. The young man's fear. Notice next the prophet's protection. The prophet says, prays and says, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Open the young man's eyes. And when his eyes were opened, what a sight he saw. He had been seeing the Syrian army. But now he saw a much, much, much greater army. An army of angels. An army of horses of fire and chariots of fire. Who can fight with horses of fire and chariots of fire? Later on we'll be singing from Psalm 125. As round about Jerusalem, the mountains stand alway. The Lord his folk doth compass so, from henceforth and for aye. Round about Jerusalem, the mountains on every side. And so the Lord encamps around his people. God is almighty. There's nothing that perplexes God. God loves his people. cares for His people, protects His people. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and be at peace. Trust in the One who from all eternity loved you. Your Father. He loved you with an everlasting love. Never had a beginning and it'll never have an end. You are loved. Not everybody in the world, but you. You who are born again. You who are Christians. You trust in Jesus. You are loved. And you've got a powerful Father. And not only that, but you've got a powerful Savior. The second person of the Trinity who died for you on the cross. And not only that, but you've got a powerful friend. A comforter. The Holy Spirit. The third person of the Trinity, dwelling in your heart. You're the temple of God. You're the house of God. He dwells in you. And dwelling in you, will He not protect His home from the enemy? Of course He will. He gives His angels charge concerning you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Upon the adder thou shalt tread, and on the lion young. How amazing. These things, of course, they refer specifically to Christ, but they also refer to Christ's people. The people of the Lord. Psalm 91 that we're singing there. Beautiful words. 1,000 at thy side shall fall. On thy right hand shall lie 10,000 dead. Yet unto thee it shall not once come nigh. Recently I read over a book by a fellow John Scriven and Tim Dieck. It's a book on the wars of the last century, and seeing God's providence at work in these wars. And there's fantastic answers to prayer. Following national days of prayer, great deliverances. For example, we're told about when the Germans in the First World War, they invaded France. And then the British came over to help. The British Expeditionary Force were considerably smaller than the Germans. And to begin with, these German forces attacked the British. And they came with overwhelming strength. The British were having to retreat. And it looked as if their army could be wiped out. Then for some reason the Germans stopped. And they didn't pursue their advantage. The British were able to regroup. And then stories began to come out about what was called the Angels of Mons. Battle of Mons, the Angels of Mons. People seeing angels on the side of the British. And the Germans having to retreat because of these angels, as it were. And then another case at the end of the First World War in 1918, where again the Germans seemed to have gathered their forces together for one last onslaught, as it were, and terrific amount of artillery started battering the British position. And then the artillery lifted and started battering the hills behind the British position. And then word started coming that the Germans had been seeing these white cavalry, as it were, led by a man on a white horse. And they started firing all their shells against this cavalry, and it seemed to have no effect. And in the end, the Germans laying down their weapons, and some of them fleeing away in fear, great fear coming over them. What were these things but answers? God in His providence, delivering, protecting. How wonderful it is to have God on our side. How important it is to pray to the Lord and to have days of prayer, because so often these deliverances came just a day or two after a national day of prayer was called. And God's people's prayers do not go unheard. God delivers His people. Remember, you are engraved upon the palms of His hands, and your walls are continually before Him, your homes. He sees you, He cares for you. As Jesus said, "My Father that gave them Me is greater than all, and no man shall pluck them out of My Father's hand." How wonderful it is to be in the Father's hand, protected by Him. So here's the prophet, surrounded by chariots of fire and horses of fire. And then finally we notice victory for the people of God. The prophet prayed. He prayed first that the young man's eyes would be opened. And they were opened, and he was encouraged. And then he prayed that the Syrian's eyes would be shut, that they would be blinded. And God answers his prayer again. So the Syrians come down to the prophet, and the prophet prays that blindness will come upon them. And then he goes to meet them. And he says, "You're coming in the wrong direction. I'll lead you to the man you're seeking." Of course, the man they were really seeking was the king of Israel. And so he leads them, and he leads them to Samaria. And they follow him right into Samaria. And then once they get into Samaria, he prays to God again. He says, "Lord, open their eyes." And they see that they're in Samaria, and they're captives. They're surrounded by the Israelites. They're captured. And the king of Israel, when he sees what has happened, he says, "Shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And the prophet says, "Of course not. Would you smite your prisoners of war? That would be wrong. Set food before them and let them go home." And so they're given a great meal and they're sent off home. And the bands of Syria came no more again into the land of Israel, the raiding bands. God's prophet is more powerful than a great army of Israelites. Why? Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on our side, no army is too strong for us. No danger is too great for us. No situation is impossible to us. Think of the Apostle Peter in prison, in Herod's prison. There he was, sleeping, chained to two soldiers. But the church was praying. And God answered the prayers of the church. The next day, Peter was going to be taken out and executed. But no, in the middle of the night, an angel comes. And the angel wakens up Peter. Doesn't waken the soldiers, wakens up Peter. And Peter sits up and his chains fall off, because the angel makes them fall off. And the angel leads him out of the prison, and the great doors of the prison open before the angel. Peter thinks it's a dream. He just can't believe it. And yet, it's not a dream. It's true. And so, Peter escapes from the wrath of Herod. Yes, God delivers his people. Think of Paul in that tremendous storm in the Mediterranean. And for several days, it seemed there was no hope for them. Tossed about in their ship, and the ship creaking at the seams in the Mediterranean. For several days, they couldn't see the sun. They didn't know where they were in this terrific storm. And Paul prays. And as he fasted and prayed, the angel of the Lord stood by him. Don't worry, Paul. You'll be safe. And all those who are in the ship, I give them to you, and you will save their lives. The soldiers, the sailors, the prisoners, all safe. And so, blown by this terrific storm, they're blown all the way to Malta. And land there in Malta. Why? Because God had a purpose that the gospel should be preached in Malta. And Paul preached the gospel in Malta and people were saved. And then on he went to Rome as a prisoner. God working out all things for his own glory. And you notice here the mercy that is shown to the prisoners. These Syrians given food and sent off home. God is merciful even to his enemies. There's a free offer of the gospel to all. Whoever you are, come. All things are now ready. Great provision has been made. Will you come? Will you come to the feast? The feast is there for you. Will you come and eat and drink? Because God has made a great feast for you in the gospel. Come and be saved. Come, for all things are now ready. So then, friends, in conclusion, when overwhelming fears seem to crush you, remember, God is. And God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Pray, ask, and you shall receive. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. There's deliverance for those who pray. Let's pray. O Lord our God, whatever our problems, whatever our difficulties, whatever threatens us, help us, deliver us. Keep us from being perplexed by our situation. Help us to look up and to believe in the goodness of God, in the mercy of God, in the sovereignty of God, in the power of God to save. Help us to trust and not to be afraid. To hear the words of Christ as he says, "Peace, be still," and calm the storm. Lord, open our eyes to see these angels that are around us, protecting us, guardian angels. Help us to see that the angel of the Lord encamps and round encompasseth all those about that do in fear, and them delivereth. Forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen.